Today we're starting a new series called More Than a Service, and we are going to be talking about what it means to be the church. And as we come into the fall, we've got some really challenging things for us, some really different ways of going about being what God has called us to be, to not just attend a service, but truly be the church God has called us to be. One of my favorite scenes from our Easter production, Forgiven, is the line dance to the song Me and Jesus. How many of you have been to the Easter service thing? Yeah. There it is. Okay. This song, yeah, we'll have guys up here in any moment. It's just one of those, it's an old song, but it is so catchy. It's that old, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. Okay. And now that I've sung it to you, if you came to it, you will remember it forever. And it ends with this line: we don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. And those lines work great in the context of that Easter production. The disciples are trying to one-up each other on who is Jesus' favorite. So Stephanie did a brilliant job of using that song in a scene where the disciples are trying to say, no, I'm Jesus' favorite. No, I'm Jesus' favorite. And she just does a great job with that. Those lyrics came to mind as I've been thinking recently just about how God's family can best reach our community for Jesus. I have a real concern that the church as a whole, and even our congregation specifically, isn't being as effective as God would have us be at reaching people for Jesus. The church as a whole and our congregation specifically. And then as I was thinking this through, that phrase caught me: reaching people for Jesus. We use that phrase a lot. It's a pretty common Christianese phrase among Christians. But as I started thinking about it, I thought, we might not understand exactly what that means. Here's what I think it's come to mean too often. The end goal of evangelism is to make sure that Jesus and you have your own thing going. That's the end goal. Me and Jesus have our own thing going. Now, it might also be good to have some Christian friends. That would be good. And to attend some church services and some programs. Maybe give a little bit. But that's all secondary to the fact that Jesus and me have got our own thing going. That's the key. And churches have kind of started communicating this as a primary thing too. And so we hear things at times from churches like, we just want to introduce you to Jesus and then let you two work things out. You and Jesus do your own thing. Our job is to kind of like match you up. And once you and Jesus have your thing going, then you guys can work it all out. And so we have church services that tend to be geared to telling you how good it is that you and Jesus have your own thing going. Inviting those who don't know Jesus to get their own thing going with Jesus. And then that's it. I mean, yeah, we might provide some programs to help you with some issues in your life. And we'd like you to serve and talk to others about Jesus. But that's kind of secondary as long as you and Jesus have your own thing going. That's the primary thing. And so you hear people say things like, you know, now, I don't really attend church too regularly, but me and Jesus kind of got our own thing going. And I know I have some issues and some habits. I should probably deal with those things. But Jesus and I have our own thing going. We're good. You know, I disagree that the Bible stands on some things. I mean, I'm not really going to live my life that way. But Jesus and I, we got our own thing going. I think that also leads to what I've been calling smorgasbord church. And here's what smorgasbord church is. People go to, you know, a couple different church services at a couple different places. Kids attend many different things at many different places. I do a special program at this congregation, and I do a special program when that congregation does this. And I have a small group study with people, and they attend a variety of different things, too, at different places. And yet, I'm not really connected to any one group of believers. There's not one group of Christians that I would consider necessarily my family. I don't commit or give or serve anywhere in particular. I just kind of scatter that out. And it's not really that vital anyway, because me and Jesus got our own thing going. It's all good. And in the meantime, we see some things happening in our culture. Church attendance is starting to deteriorate at a very fast pace. I was just reading some statistics over this last week, and the mega church is now starting to see, they have been at rising for years. Medium-sized churches have been declining. Denominations have been declining. Small churches have been holding the same, and the mega church has been growing. You know what they're starting to see now? Small churches are staying the same. Middle-sized churches are disappearing. And now the mega church is starting to see attendance dropping across the board. And it doesn't seem that new people are getting their own thing going with Jesus, or that the church seems to have the power of God's Spirit indwelling it that it seems it should. Do you get that feeling? That the power of God just doesn't seem to be showing through our church as much anymore. It seems to be kind of scattered. Where's the power that we see in the book of Acts? Oh, where's God's indwelling in his people? And so I started asking this question. Is there a connection between this lack of power and effectiveness in God's church and the idea that it's all about me and Jesus having our own thing going? I started asking, if it's just me and Jesus, is that what Jesus intends to have going? Do I really have anything powerful going if it's just me and Jesus? Are we missing something if our focus is all on me and Jesus? See, the Bible doesn't really have the concept of individual spirituality. I heard somebody say once, America is a country made up of 303 million different religions. And what they meant by that is everybody's got their own thing going of Jesus, and I just kind of put together the way I'd like it to be, and I kind of do my own thing, and I just kind of, I've made this into my own little thing. But the Bible doesn't really have a concept for that. When you and Jesus start something up, you become part of a kingdom, a body, a family. It can't just be you and Jesus and your own thing going. And this kingdom, these brothers and sisters, aren't just an extra option to add into you and Jesus. They are part of who you and Jesus are. And it's in this kingdom where Jesus intends for you to live. That's the place. It's where he intends to grow you. It's where he intends to change you. It's where he intends to use you. And he doesn't do it alone. It is done together. I want to look at some of this because God is in the business of making a family, not just saved individuals. That's not where it was intended to end. I'm just going to give you some sample of this throughout Scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. We get this idea all the time through Scripture. One body, not one individual, one body. When we get Jesus, we are brought into this body. We are not left as individuals, just me and Jesus. Take a look at another sample of it. Acts 2:47. Acts 2:47. I'm going to read the last sentence here. It's talking about the church being together. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. When the Bible talks about someone being saved, I think it's very interesting that then they are brought into, when they're brought into this right relationship with Jesus, when them and Jesus get their own thing going, the Lord adds them to the fellowship. The fellowship. God takes them and says, okay, now that you and I are good, I am putting you in my body. And that's the intention. That part of a person and Jesus getting their thing going is putting them into his body. You are now in the family. And that's where I intend you to be. Not just me and you staying over here, but you now get into my family. Take a look again back in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See, part of God's work in your life is to fit you into his body, the one body, his family. And it's as you do your part in the body that the whole body, including yourself, that's where it grows and it becomes healthy. I would be as bold to say you don't grow and become healthy with just you and Jesus. That's not what he intends. That's not how he does it. It's not the plan. The plan is I get together with Jesus, he puts me in his family, and it's there that I grow and I become healthy. Outside the body, the individual parts are completely ineffective, and they even die if they're not part of our body. If your fingers aren't going, they're not going to be healthy, and they're not going to be effective, chopped off, all right? That's not going to be good. They are only useful, and they are only healthy if they are attached and functioning properly within the body. I can't think of any musical situation in which your fingers would say, me and the brain got a good thing going. All right. I'm even snapping. They couldn't do that on their own. All right. They can't do that separately. It makes no sense. They can't just be with the brain and that's it. They have to be connected to the body. And if they aren't, well, then they're going to be really unhealthy, ineffective, and probably die. So it's as individuals within the body, the community, the kingdom, properly working, that Jesus' work is most powerfully done both in ourselves and in the lives of others. That's where the power of God is seen, in us, together. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22. This talk is all through Scripture. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Did you catch all that together stuff? He doesn't say, hey, Barry, me and you, this is where I dwell. It's about me and you. This is where it all happens. No. He says, together. His house is all of us together. It's about his church, his body. It is clearly not just me and Jesus. It's not intended that way. It's with us together, not just as individuals, that God's Spirit lives. I found that kind of interesting because I think sometimes we make that so individualistic too. God lives in me. Yes and no. That's not necessarily how you see it talked about most in Scripture. It says God lives in us. He dwells in his people. Now, that isn't to say having a personal relationship with Jesus isn't at the core of everything, all right? It is, but it does mean that it's within the context of family, of kingdom, of the body, that God's power is unleashed. That's where we are to see it happen, that his purposes for us as individuals is realized in his body, in his family. See, I think there are two primary things that happen when we connect fully to the body of Jesus, when we find our specific place in his kingdom. Number one is this: the individual parts of the body receive the blessings God intends for his people when they connect to the body. when they let God put them in it and find how he's going to use them within the body. I like what one person said. They said this: the Lord designed the church as a distribution system of his blessings. That's pretty good. He doesn't do that individually. He does that through his body. That's what he designed it for. So what are some of the blessings that God distributes through his church that you can't get with just you and Jesus? Well, the working of God's gifts in others. He says he's gifted other people to build up the others, the church. So you can't get that on your own. Spiritual growth from interacting with other parts of God's family. Accountability. Encouragement. Places to serve. The power of combined giving. Correction. Protection. Prayer. And you could go on and on and on going. There is stuff that you can only get when you're part of God's people, part of Jesus' body, that you can't get if it's just you and Jesus. It just doesn't work. The general word used for all this in the Bible is fellowship, right? Now, in the church, fellowship always just meant what? Potlucks. Yeah, it's eating, all right? That is not what the Bible is talking about when it talks. Although, very interesting, we may talk about this in a couple weeks. Food always seems to be involved when Jesus' body gets together. I guess bodies have to eat, so food is involved a lot. Nate's very happy about this because he eats like 12 meals a day, all right? So two of them are supplements. Only supplements. It's crazy. So it's all right. Fellowship, that word, is not possible by yourself. Fellowship cannot happen with just you and Jesus. That's not how it's meant to be. And by fellowship, I do not mean acquaintances, just other people that you kind of hang out with that also happen to do church stuff. But fellowship from a biblical background would mean this: close, long-term relationships with other Christians. That is God's distribution system for his intentions in our lives. I was, when we asked that question, began service, how many churches have you attended? And some of us go, dozens. I've never really been connected much anywhere. So I think part of it is that God's distribution system happens when we connect ourselves, when we have real fellowship in God's church. And we start to see God's power in our lives, his care for us, his protection of us, his accountability for us. That only happens when we become part of his family. Now, I think there's a second vital thing that happens powerfully within the context of family that doesn't happen as effectively when it's just me and Jesus. And this one might be something you don't think about often. And here's what I think it is: evangelism. Evangelism. Basically, the idea of bringing new people into the family. I think that happens best as family, not as individuals. See, I think evangelism is usually portrayed as an individual thing. You talking to that family member, you talking to that friend, you speaking to that coworker. And we kind of push for that. And if you do not have the gift of evangelism, how many of you go, that's kind of uncomfortable for me? That's just tough to do. It's tough for me to do. I'll be honest. I am not an evangelist. All right? If I get a chance to talk to somebody and they kind of approach me and start it, hey, I'm all in. But thinking of those opportunities and taking the initiative, I'm not real good at that. But maybe, surprisingly, what we find is most often evangelism is talked about as a corporate thing in the Bible. Something we do together. It's something that I think might be most effectively done together. Might be how it was designed to happen best. While it is the responsibility of every single believer to be ready to share their faith when asked, if somebody approaches you, if you get an opportunity, you have to be ready to tell about the faith you have, to explain that to somebody. Our lives of love, though, lived together in fellowship and view of the whole world, is to be a powerful draw to those outside the kingdom. Realize the specific gift of evangelism does not belong to everyone. That's why it's a gift. Not everybody has it. As a matter of fact, we see very few individuals in the New Testament sharing their faith one-on-one. Very few. What we tend to find is when God's family is functioning as God's family is designed, people take notice and are drawn. God starts sending them. That's the most common way we see evangelism happen in Scripture. Remember back in Acts 2:47, when the church lived together as the church God intended, what did God do? He added them to the fellowship. He sent people their way. People saw this family of God, and that's what attracted them. Dave was talking about our softball team, and he said there was this guy that was playing on one of the other teams, and when we had played them for the second or third time, that he had come up and he said, "You know what? You guys are our favorite team to play against. You guys just seem to be having fun. You just seem to be good people. What's that core thing all about that you've got on your t-shirts?" We didn't need a single person with a gift of evangelism out there. What happened was when God's people were behaving like God's people, even just playing softball, other people went, "I noticed. What's that all about? Can you tell me more?" This is one reason why God's goal is not to have just me and Jesus get our own thing going, but to bring people fully into his kingdom. Not just leaving it individuals and Jesus, but bringing them fully into his kingdom. That's where the power is. That's where we see God work his best stuff. I like how one writer put it. Listen to this. "Our goal in evangelism is to make kingdom citizens, not individuals. In the kingdom of God, we find our identities chiefly in our kingdom citizenship. Our worship is primarily corporate, and evangelism is calling others into our corporate worship of our sovereign King. We must then recognize that our evangelism is also primarily corporate. The bottom line is that God has designed the church to be the context in which we move from sinfulness to holiness. Attempting to grow in Christ outside the church is like trying to learn to swim without ever getting into the pool." So now we come back to why the church isn't possibly being as effective in both maturing Christians and reaching new people for Jesus as God intends for it to be. God's power is meant to be unleashed in our own lives and also in evangelism in us, not you. Let me say that again. God's power is meant to be unleashed most effectively in us, not you. Therefore, if Christians focus primarily on me and Jesus, we lose power. We really do. If we become consumers of just various church stuff that help with me and Jesus, but we never fully commit to a specific group of Christians, connect as a body, we lose the power God means for us to have. It's just how it works. Now, I know that's not popular in American culture to say, we have to do this stuff together. You can't do it individually. You need each other, good and bad. You and Jesus getting a good thing going, dare I say, is not enough. It's not what he intends. See, if we bring people into a relationship with Jesus, but we fail to connect them to his family in a fully functioning way, we lose power. They don't see God's intentions fully for their lives. So one of the best ways we can practice evangelism is simply by living life together as Jesus' body and letting others see us. Another writer said this, "The primary context the church has used for teaching the observance of Christ's commandments and preaching God's word is as among is a sorry and preaching his word." I'm not going to make a comment. I'm just going to continue on. Here we go. "The primary context the church has used for teaching the observance of Christ's commandments and preaching God's word is among his people on his day, Sunday. It is as the church comes together, as the church, that evangelism becomes possible. When we think about evangelism today, we think of it primarily in terms of making individual converts. In ages past, though, evangelism encompassed the whole of the corporate life of the church. What does this mean for you as the ordinary person in the services? It has a few different implications. It means that evangelism suddenly means a lot more than trying to figure out how to break the ice on a religious discussion while sitting next to a stranger at a ball game. It means a lot more, but it also simplifies matters. Rather than feeling all the weight of trying to figure out the perfect way to break out of your shell and start up conversations with total strangers, you are free to focus on how you can personally help the corporate church to fulfill the Great Commission. So that means evangelism doesn't necessarily mean you always going up and trying to figure out a way to talk one-on-one with that person sitting next to you that you don't know. Of looking for those specific opportunities where I've got to get in there. There are other ways of doing this. Because it can also be done by finding your specific role in God's family. Committing to true fellowship with a body of Christians. Modeling God's community together in view of those who are watching. How many of you would like to do a better job bringing people into God's kingdom? You know what? If you think the only way you can do that is just talk to somebody one-on-one, that is not necessarily what the Bible says. One of the best ways you can do that is find out where you fit in God's kingdom. What has He created you to do? Get in fellowship with other believers. Commit to each other. Be the church, the family, the body that He has intended us to be. When you do that, God will draw people to it. People will want to know what's going on. But instead, what we do is we go, me and Jesus got a good thing going, and I'm not an evangelist. So I'll just keep doing this me and Jesus thing, and we'll take in some of the other stuff, and we've lost power. That should be encouraging to you. It's something you don't need to be an individually great evangelist to do. You don't have to do it alone. But I tell you what, if you don't have the gift of evangelism and you are not thoroughly plugged into the body of Jesus, then you are not reaching the world for Jesus. That's part of how He intends for us to do it. This fall, we're going to be working on some ways to better experience and express God's family, His community, His kingdom. To those who aren't yet a part, we have got some unique plans. This more than a service thing is going to go far beyond what you may be thinking at times. That if this is what we have reduced God's family to, a bunch of people coming and sitting and facing forward and not looking at each other during a service, do you wonder why God's family lacks power? If we have all not been able to find what has God created me to do, where in the body has He put me, and have not committed to doing that, there's a reason churches are dying. There's a reason people are not getting it. There's a reason our culture is sliding further and further from God. So, here's my first crazy idea. Looking on how He can best do corporate evangelism. I know some of you, anytime He says crazy idea, you are all going like, oh boy, okay, what are we doing? Are we burning down the building? No. All right. Here's the first crazy idea. We've got some longer term stuff going too, but when Hills began, the congregation we started here in Paintbrush Hills, when they began, they did some door hangers on people's homes. It was a pretty common way to kind of get word out of a new church starting. And they went out in groups of two to four or so, and they just put some things on doors. And I had a chance to start some conversation. It had some effectiveness. They did see some people come because they had done that type of thing. Some conversations were started, but only a few people did it. And I'd say because if you don't have the gift of evangelism, something like that can be very, very intimidating. I would take kids on mission trips all around the world. And I remember when we would take our kids from our home church and we would go to Honduras and all, one of the things that we do in Honduras is we go door to door and we just go to door to door. And every door you go to, they ask you to come in. It's just hospitality in that culture. So we would go door to door because it was a very effective way of letting people know. And we would travel in groups of about 15 or 16 people. And one of the great things is, I don't blend in very well in Honduras. I know that's hard to believe. I don't blend in very well in Honduras. Most of us who go down don't blend in very well in Honduras. And so it was kind of weird. They would say, see these, like, you know, six Hondurans and then 10 North Americans walking through these villages in the middle of nowhere. There was a curiosity factor. And they wanted to know what was going on. And so we would go in and we would speak. We come back to the States and I'd always have a group of kids that would go, we should do that at home. Yeah, okay. Let's do it. We're going to go door to door. We're going to knock. You know what happens when you do that in the United States? Knock, knock, knock. You see the blind open up. You see the peephole and somebody covers it and then no one comes to the door. And you knock and you know they're, and then you walk away and then you see them look out the door, all right? And honestly, maybe one in 15 homes would open the door and talk to you, all right? And even if you're not, you know, dressing with the tie and the white shirt, they still think something's up, all right? So they know what you're up to. So there, and so we've tried, and we know that method doesn't necessarily work. The door hangers work pretty well to just get some advertisement out there. People will look at it, take a look, maybe. Anymore, when I get somebody that comes, I don't know if you're like me. If I get somebody at my door and there's one or two people and they come up and they knock, I do the window thing. I don't know. I'm not going, even if I know you, I might not open the door. You know, I'm going like, oh yeah, there's Nate Brewster. No, not opening the door. All right. So going, I will take it. And there's a lot of times they'll leave something on my door. I don't even look at it. I take it off and I toss it. It just doesn't get my attention. But what if there were 200 people walking in your neighborhood and they're putting flyers on a door? Couple things are going to happen. Number one, I'm going to be like standing behind my door with a shotgun. All right. There's 200 people coming through my neighborhood. I'm wondering what is going on. I'm going to check out that door hanger. I'm probably still not opening the door. Probably less so. I'm not opening that door, but I'm looking at that thing when they leave. What is that all about? You know, it sounds weird, and it is. But what churches have been doing isn't working, folks. It's not working. Whatever this thing we've been trying to do, let's go back to some biblical principles. Let's do this evangelism thing together. Here's what I'm thinking. On August 4th, after our services, after first service and then after second service, we're going to encourage everybody to stick around. We are going to go meet at a couple of areas in a couple of neighborhoods. We're going to park our cars. And we're going to encourage as many people as possible. We're just going to go through a neighborhood and we're going to put little door hangers on their doors. We're thinking of like in groups of 12 down the blocks because 200 would scare you to death, all right? 12 people walking though, there's something about the community. There's something about a bigger group that you, what is that all about? I'm going to look at that thing and we're just going to point them to the family. And here's what I need specifically. I need some of you to have the gift of evangelism because I guarantee here's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to open their door and say, what's this all about and want to talk. And I want the 11 people that are going to start running down the street when that happens because they're not evangelists. We didn't want to talk to anybody. We just wanted to put something on your door. I want somebody who's going to go, I'll talk to you. Let me tell you what's going on. We do this as a community together. I don't know what will happen, but we got to do something different. What we've been doing isn't working to bring people into the family. And so on August 4th, I want to encourage you to plan on, bring good walking shoes that day. We're going to go out after service. We're going to make that service a little bit shorter. And we're going to tell you where you're going to go meet. And we're going to split into groups. And we're just going to walk through the community. And we're going to put those little things on the door. And we're going to pray that they take notice. And then we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks how we are going to do some things to hopefully not just invite people to come to a service, but to truly introduce them to the family of God, to his body, to his community, to do more than simply just get them to have them and Jesus and their own thing going, but to become a truly valuable part of the body. And I know that when that happens, we will see powerful stuff take place. So, when I am done speaking this morning, I'm going back to my red carpet cage back there where they keep me. I'm going to go back there. if you are one of those people that would say, yeah, I'd talk to somebody if I get an opportunity on that morning, come see me. I want to get your contact information, and we want to use you that morning, August 4th. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your family. We thank you that you do not leave us alone. And at times we use phrases like, you are all that we need, that you are more than enough. And although that is true in a sense, you have said we need your family, and that you have given us your body to grow closer, not only to you, but to each other, as a place where your power is seen, as a place where your will is worked. Lord, I pray, and that as we kind of continue on here together into some new things to try to be that body, that you will send people our way, that they will see a community that doesn't exist in other places, people that truly love each other, that truly care for each other, that truly live life together, that your people become a powerful force when they get together. Help us to understand that our life lived with you is more than just me and you individually. It is more than just attending services, but it's finding out who you've made us to be, what we are supposed to be doing in the body. We pray that you will work powerfully among us, that we will become the people you've called us to be. We pray that your Spirit just fills us and moves among us, that we are able to reach our community with the news of you and with your family. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.